this started pre-Purim. There's a problem in the famous Shoshanas Yaakov that we say. And from there, I'd like to take it to a little bit of a different level. The Paitan, it's brought in the Rishonim, this, so it's from the early times, exactly when, I don't know, that the Shoshanas Yaakov, that's the Klal Yisrael, was full of joy when they saw Mordechai going out, Bilavush Tcheles, they knew that everything had turned around, and the royalty was put in his hands, and the control was put in his hands. And Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzolovitzamecho Beroisam Yachat Tcheles Mordechai. Then it continues, it says, Chuosim Hoyisal Netzach, Sikvosim Bechol Dor Vador. This was not only an isolated event in Jewish history, but in every generation, Hashem was the source of salvation for the Jewish people, and the one in whom they put their hope, the Sikvosim Bechol Dor Vador. But then comes, that's so far so good. Then comes the strangest line, Lohidia Shekol Koivecha Lo Yevoishu. This is to teach us that all those who put their hope in you will never be embarrassed. And there will never be, ikolmu is another form of embarrassment, forevermore, anyone who takes refuge in Hashem. So this teaches us what happened to Mordechai in the context of everything that happened in other generations, teaches us that anyone who puts his hope in Hashem will never be embarrassed. His hope will not be disappointed, and those that trust him will be taken care of. And the question is, how does it teach us that? We know, we've learned here many times, that to a ma'amin, to one who believes in Hashem, there's only one reason why he might not have bitochon. I believe in Hashem, I know Hashem is good, I know he's powerful, I know he's involved, I know he cares, I know he loves, I know he deals with all the details, he knows everything that's going on. So what's the only problem? Why am I not trusting that he's going to help me? Maybe I'm not worthy. That's the only reason. Maybe I'm not worthy. If that's the case, how does seeing what happened to Mordechai, even in the context of other incidents in Jewish history, how does that teach me, Shekol Koivecha, anyone who puts his hope in Hashem will be answered, will not be embarrassed. Maybe they were worthy. They did tshuva. They had other circumstances or other rights coming to them. And I'm not worthy. So how can we learn this lesson? And if you'll think, well, maybe it's just emotional that, well, you know, like I see it happen to them, so emotionally I start to feel, well, look what Hashem does, and you do it. Lohidia, to let it be known, is not an emotional word. That's intellectual. Yedia is an intellectual thing. An emotion is a hargosha, is to feel something. A yedia means knowledge. How is this teaching me, Shekol Koivecha? Something is very bizarre. L'chora, what you must say is that really I know this. Part of the emuna of the Jew is not only that Hashem is all-powerful, not only that Hashem is all-merciful and kind and beneficial, but that he also, to those that put their trust in him, he responds to them. If they hope to Hashem, Hashem says, you're counting on me? I'm not going to let you down. You won't be embarrassed. Then what's lohidia shekol koivecha? The teretz is, there are things that I know intellectually, but emotionally I get confused. Intellectually I know Hashem helps everybody, even if you're not worthy. But, I mean, if they put their trust in him. If they put their trust in him, I know that. That has to be an intellectual awareness. The only thing is, I personally, I know I do so many stupid things, I'm this, I'm that. I just am afraid maybe it's not me. Maybe he's not going to help me. That is dispelled when you look at the history. When you look at so many cases of how Hashem helps those that turn to him, that sends away the emotional concern that maybe he's not going to help me. Intellectually, I know that he helps anyone who puts his trust in him. But I'm concerned emotionally that maybe. To that, the image, the picture, what we see is the answer to that. And therefore, I know it sort of reinstates the knowledge that was confused with my emotions. Now, there's an interesting language that we find in the in the here it is. Here it is. An interesting language in the Radak in Kapitel Chof Beis, which is what Esther said, Keli, Keli, Loma, Zaftoni, when she went to Achashverosh. That's on the pages are not marked here. So that's where it says Radak. I have to have pages marked. Anyway, he says like this. He says, a person puts his trust in Hashem that he's going to save him. He says, Pirish, Ki chofetz ha'odom bekel, Klema, when a person waits to Hashem to help him, Zero inu v'shamanu, we saw this and we heard this, Kama pe'omim, numerous times, Ki mi, Shemesabiv drochov utfiloso elokel, one who turns his ways and his prayers to Hashem, Yefalteu, Hashem will save him. Im kein, loma loy toshienu. Why is not going to save us? Or toshieni, why save me? Ki anachnu, or us. Ki anachnu einenu elecho. He says, I see many times that Hashem saves those who turn to him. So why shouldn't they save me? I'm turning to him. I never heard something so bizarre. I see many times he saved other people. And I'm concerned maybe I'm not worthy. So then I say to myself, well, why shouldn't he save me? What do you mean, why shouldn't he save you? Because you may not be worthy. Maybe they were and you weren't. It seems again that this feeling of not worthiness is really intellectually, I know that if you put your trust in Hashem, Hashem doesn't let you down. Emotionally, knowing what I did yesterday or what I do or the things that are my own unworthiness, I get a little shaky about it. So when I say, I've seen him do it. Look, he does. Many times we've seen him do it. Why shouldn't he do it to me? Meaning to dispel the emotional concern that maybe he's not going to do it to me. Intellectually, I know if I put my trust in Hashem, he will help me. But emotionally, I get a little bit nervous. What dispels that nervousness is this sense that, why shouldn't he do it to me? So we see that this concept of that Hashem helps those that put their trust in him, despite the fact that they think they may not be worthy, that's a very, very legitimate concept. Okay? And we know that concept from other places as well. I would like just tonight, very briefly, to discuss how that works, why that works, what that's all about. Why is it that there's such a thing in the system of things that to one who puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem will respond to him despite the fact that he is unworthy? That's all. I just want to give a new or a novel explanation to that. And that's really the point of this whole discussion tonight. So I would like to suggest as follows. When a person puts his trust in Hashem, what is he doing? What's really going on? We've mentioned here in this gathering that the Meshech Chochma, Rabbi Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, writes in the Meshech Chochma that the source for the mitzvah of trusting Hashem comes from the Pasuk Uboy Sidbok. You should cling to Hashem. Bitochen is maybe the closest connection that I can get to Hashem in this world. In this world. A tefillah brings me very close. But tefillah is the pshat, I'm asking for something. Bitochen is I'm trusting. I'm counting. It's a step, it's a dimension closer in the relationship. There's a relationship, I feel comfortable enough to ask you something. And I hope that maybe you will respond. Trust is something, I know it. I trust you. I'm counting on you. I know you're not going to let me down. That's another dimension in the relationship. And that's what he calls dveikus b'Hashem. I am, devik is glue. I'm connected to Hashem. I'm glued to Hashem. It's like the ultimate connection that you could have, one who puts trust. And we know trust is really the fabric of all relationship. If there's no trust in a relationship, there's no relationship. There's no such thing as a good relationship without trust. That's probably the most important ingredient. So here too, when I trust Hashem, I'm connected to Him. Now, there's a posuk that says, V'hisaneg al Hashem. I apologize here that I don't have pages.
Do we get kra for that, by the way?
What?
Is that a mitzvah that we get?
Yes, of course. Of course, it's not an easy thing to do sometimes. V'hisaneg al Hashem, it says, V'hiyitei lecho mishalois libecho. It says page 11 here, but it's out of order. It's just the copy that it came from. So he says like this, at the very bottom, V'hisaneg al Hashem, V'hiyitei lecho mishalois libecho. You should have pleasure in Hashem, and we'll see what that means in a moment. This is the Briskerov talking, and he will give you the requests of your heart. It's marked page 11, then it goes to page 12. Actually, page 12 came first here. Biur Hadovor, the top of the page, Shem Yia Bitchoincho Ba'Hashem Kol Kach Chozok Ajitisaneik. If your trust in Hashem will be, it's marked page 12 on the bottom, it's the very top of the page, where it says Borei Pri HaGofen on the top of the page, with Beis Levi. If your trust in Hashem will be so strong that you're misanig, that it brings you pleasure. In other words, I have such confidence in Hashem that He's going to help me, that it fills me with I'm thrilled. It's the greatest pleasure in the world to be able to be sure. It's a tremendous pleasure. I have a big problem. I have a lot of needs. I have a big deal. I have whatever it may be. And I am so sure Hashem's going to help me. Wow. Like, it's a bigger pleasure than the deal itself, maybe. It's like, okay. So he says, V'hisaneg al Hashem, v'yitei lecho. He says, if that happens, oz yitei lecho mishalos libecho. Then he will give you mishalos libecho. So he seems to say that what the Pasuk says, l'hisaneg al Hashem, to find pleasure in Hashem, refers to trusting Hashem. And if you trust Hashem, which inspires that level of pleasure in your connection to Him, He gives you everything you want. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Why should trust, which really brings me to l'hisaneg al Hashem, give me kol mishalos libecho? Do I deserve it or don't I deserve it? If I deserve it, then I should get it. If I don't deserve it, what is it about this pleasure that I've achieved that now we say, He'll give you everything. So I want to suggest a novel idea. And that is, these copies are terrible. Forgive me. If you look at the last page is a copy, if you can read it, is a copy of the first parak in Mesilas Yesharim. Okay? He says like this, Hine masharunu chazal to us, it's marked here, who, sheho'odom le'nivro elo lehis'aneg al Hashem. Man was created for the purpose of take pleasure in that connection to Hashem. Ulehonois miziv shchinosoi, and to have pleasure from the shine of His divine presence. Shezehu hatanu ko amiti. It's the ultimate pleasure for idun hagodol, and the greatest type of feeling good. Mikol ho idunim, all the pleasures shecholim limotzi that person could find. And he says, and the real place for this is olam habo, but in this world we feel it to a certain extent. Ach haderech kedei lahagia elu, who zehu olam hazeh? Yeah. And what is it? For olam hazeh doim ole proizdor, for emtsoim hamagim el ozel l'tachlis hazeh, heim hamitzvois asher tzivonu alehen hokel yisborach shemoy. And a place for doing the mitzvahs is this world. So Mesilas Yesharim says like this: the ultimate goal is this tanug el Hashem, and that he says really the ultimate is olam haba. Olam haba doesn't have any distractions. There's no need for eating, for drinking. There's no body to distract us, to tempt us in many directions. It's only the neshama, and we connect in the ultimate connection to Hashem. L'yis'aneg al Hashem. That's what Hashem wants, because that's the greatest pleasure, and that's the greatest reward. And the mitzvahs are what bring us there, the emtsoyim. A person does mitzvahs, then he becomes a better person. He becomes ro'ui, worthy, l'hisaneg al Hashem, to connect with Hashem, to feel that closeness with Hashem, because he emulates Hashem. He becomes, Chazal tell us the mitzvahs were given to refine human character. and when my character is refined in a godly way, that I become enlightened to Hashem, so then I connect with Him. I can, you know, if you're not similar, people can't relate unless they have, you know, if a person is honest, he can't relate with a shakran. If a person is merciful, he can't relate with an achzor. It just doesn't connect. You know, we're two different worlds. So, but when I become godly, then I can connect with Hashem, and I'm lisaning al Hashem, which is the ultimate purpose of His creation, the Seel Shalom says. And he says, the mitzvahs are the means to get us there. Now, here comes the suggestion. And that's what it is. It's just a suggestion. If the Pasuk says, v'hisaneg al Hashem v'hu yiten l'cho mishalis libecho, be misaneg, that oineg al Hashem, in this world, to whatever extent we can, which the Brisker Rav defines and the other Mefarshim as trusting Hashem, who eat in l'chom eshalos libecha. Maybe I don't deserve it. So I want to suggest that this is a system that bypasses the mitzvahs. What do I mean? The mitzvahs are the way of the emtsoyim themselves that bring us to Olam Haba, to bring this human, this the ultimate refinement, so we can connect with Hashem in the deepest connection. It seems there's a temporary connection to Hashem that we could have in this world. And we can get it even without the mitzvahs. And that is bitochen. We know Chazal say that Rabbi Machoy from the Rosh Ba'avtech Ba'Hashem Chesed Sovevenu, even a Rosh who puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem takes care of him. So I want to suggest why. Because when you're trusting Hashem, you're fulfilling temporarily, momentarily, in this particular issue, the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is l'saneg al Hashem. That's what the Mesillas Yeshurim says. Hashem created us to be able to have that ultimate pleasure in proximity, in closeness, in dveikus with Him, because it's the greatest pleasure, the greatest thing, and that really is Olam Haba in this world. We can feel it to a certain extent. Bitochen is the way to feel it in this world. And therefore, even the Rosha, who is not worthy, or the person who says, oh, I don't know, Shemagora Machet, maybe I'm not worthy. No. Even if you're not worthy, if you reach that level of Vihisane Gal Hashem, which means temporarily in this union, I have reached the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to bring us close as we possibly can to Hashem. Bitochen does that. I'm misaneg al Hashem. That's what the Brisker Rav learns. He says, if you have such trust that it brings you to this feeling of pleasure in your connection to Hashem, then He'll give you everything you want, everything your heart desires, even if you don't deserve it. Because you found the alternative route to get to where Hashem wants us to get. Now, ultimately, the place is Olam Haba, because in this world we can't achieve the ultimate. But Bitochen is like a temporary Mayein Olam Haba, a temporary otherworldly experience. A person, think about it for a moment, it really makes so much sense. A person has tzoras, and he's worried, and he has this problem, he has that problem, the other problem, and he brings himself just to feel, I'm relying on Hashem, He's taking care of everything, I don't have to worry. To the degree that the problem is overwhelming, it's to that degree that when he can achieve that state of reliance, of trust, of undaunted hope, what could be a greater pleasure? It's like, there's nothing like it. There's nothing. In fact, we even mentioned once that to the person who is hoping to Hashem, even the delay does not discourage him. The delay is another opportunity to feel close to Hashem. We all know very well that if we're awaiting something and we're turning to Hashem and we're counting on Him and we feel that closeness, the minute He delivers, got the situation under control. You know, the story with the parking space in Manhattan. You know, oh, I need, help me. God. Oh, I see a park. Never mind, God, I got it all under control. When it's done already, we lost that. So, Bitochen is, I think that's what I entitled this session, an alternative, Bitochen, an alternative means or method or something to fulfill the purpose of creation. Now, it's not long-term. Because bitochen is very short-lived. Number one, it's about a specific problem. I have a problem with my parnasa. I have a problem with health. I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. So it's a very specific focus. But at that moment, I'm really achieving the hisaneg al Hashem. And that's what Hashem wants. So at that moment, He says, you have momentarily achieved the hisaneg al Hashem. I'm not even going to pay attention to your Avera. Safilo Rosho Ubeitech Bashem Chesed Yisraelu. Even if you're not worthy, and Shemagoram Hashechet for sure, what are you getting all nervous about? You have connected to me? That's the ultimate purpose of creation? And Mimela, I overlook your shortcomings, and I will, in this issue in which you have connected, that issue, I will respond. When it's over, okay, now we still have to go back to striving to get there. But bitochen is like a temporary short, it's like a shortcut to a temporary state of nisanega Hashem. And that maybe, I bring it here too, but I have to have this screwed on the quality here is really not. But maybe that's what the goyin means when he says, Iker nesinas hatoyro leYisroel hu, kidei sheyosimu bitchoinu b'Hashem. That's the goyin in Mishlei Chof Beis. Chof Beis posekut tes in Mishlei. Leyos b'Hashem miftachacho, I think that's the way the posek goes. He says, the Iker of the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael was that they should have bitochem Hashem. Because when a person has bitochem Hashem, he fulfills that purpose. Hashem wanted to give us the ultimate schar. The ultimate schar is that closeness to Hashem. That ultimate closeness we can only have in Olam Haba because there's no distractions. It's only the neshama. In a certain measure, we can have it in this world. And when we have it in this world, he's even willing to overlook the fact that we may not have earned it, we may not deserve it, because we've achieved that ultimate. In other words, it's like there's a shortcut. Really, that's what it amounts to. There's a shortcut. We have to, in order to get the ultimate Dveikus Hashem, Lesanegel Hashem, we need the mitzvahs in this world in order to bring us to that. But there are temporary states of Lesanegel Hashem. The temporary states of Lesanegel Hashem are built not on what we deserve or earned, but built on the level of trust and connection that we have with Hashem. And if it's the Hisaneg al Hashem, my bitochon is such that I rejoice, I'm taking pleasure in that relationship. It's a tainug. Hu yiten lecho mishalas libecho. That's the formula for getting everything that we want in life. So basically, I don't know what I accomplished here, to tell you the truth. I think maybe all it really is, after all is said and done, is an explanation of this concept of how bitochen can work despite the fact that maybe I didn't deserve it, or even for sure I don't deserve it. Afilu rosho b'teach b'Hashem. Because in the system of things, you see, I guess the way to look at it is as follows. Hashem ultimately created the world only for one purpose. Only for chesed. Only to do chesed. To be able to be privileged to that ultimate connection with him in the next world, a person has to refine his character, become godly, and that's the mitzvahs. It's only the mitzvahs that make a person reach those levels. However, in this world, one can have an episode of Lisanig al Hashem, a temporary Lisanig al Hashem, a taste of the Lisanig al Hashem. And that, since he is putting his trust and feeling that tanuk, he's accomplishing the ultimate, and even if he may not be worthy, in this particular situation, in this temporary situation, in this one focus situation, he has been able to achieve that connection, even though he might be unworthy. That's the story. It's a little radical, but I think it all, you know, it's based on the sources.